Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this time together. Thank you for what you've given us to learn. And I ask you to bless us and cause us to rise up levels and steps into the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to pass this out yet. I'm going to give an introduction. And my introduction is, today I said, Lord, what do you want said tonight? What do you want said? I didn't really have a leading toward one thing or another, except prophecy. I said, Lord, what do you want said? And so he began to prophesy to me. And I wrote it down. And first of all, he said, I love you. That's what God said to you, and 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 you. He said, I love you. The second thing he said is, I have chosen you for a good work. I've chosen you to do something for me. I said, okay, Lord. The next thing he said is, I prepared you for the work, and the work for you. I prepared the direction, the finances, and the helpers. Let's just stop there a minute. What has God prepared us to do? What has he prepared us to do? Has he prepared us to help somebody else, maybe?
Help him?
Help him? Yes. Maybe he's prepared us to tell people about Jesus. Do you think he's preparing us to take care of children that have no mothers and fathers? Mm-hmm. Do you think he's preparing us to take care of animals?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or do you think he's preparing us maybe to be preachers?
Oh.
And singers. And praisers. Maybe he's preparing us to do, like you said, his work in the earth. Well, let's go ahead. He said, I need you. Okay, now God's talking to you. I need you to be willing. What does willing mean, John? Elizabeth, help me out.
Ready?
Ready. Mm-hmm. Willing? And so you're ready, but you're happy to be ready.
Yeah, agreeable.
And obedient? What does obedient mean?
Like obedient, like obedient.
Do what they say.
Yeah. Do what God says. I need you to be happy and do what I say with a cheerful attitude. Mm-hmm. What's a cheerful attitude, somebody?
Yay.
Right. That is a perfect answer. A cheerful attitude. Okay, so God wants us to be ready, happy. He wants us to be do what he says with a happy attitude. He says, I'm waiting on you to start. God's waiting on us. That's what he says. Waiting for you to be willing, obedient, and cheerful. If the work is time sensitive and you're not ready, I may reassign the work to somebody who is ready. Ooh, I don't want to get left out, do you?
Yeah.
He says, make me and my word your first thing every day. Put me before your job, before your family, before your other responsibilities, and you'll be ready for what I need you to do. So what do we need to be ready?
To do the work.
What do we need to be ready?
Put
God first. Put God first. So that means when you get out of bed, and maybe you take a shower or a bath and brush your teeth, he says, put me first. Talk to me first. What do you think Jesus says to you first thing in the morning?
I love you.
That's exactly right. He says, I love you. He says, good morning. He says, let's work together. What do we say to God first thing in the morning?
Good morning. Or he says, good night.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning. And we say, thank you for the day coming up.
Yes.
Then he said, your place in my plan is one of the keys to my coming or my return, says the Lord. So get ready and be ready.
I just did my Bible verse today.
What is your Bible verse today?
Today.
Is that you? Oh, I think I know what verse you're saying. This is the day that the Lord
has made.
Amen.
What else?
Said, this is my plan for you. I've got something for you to do every day, but I need you to check with me, and I need you to be ready and obedient and willing and cheerful. Now the second part on this piece of paper is a daily declaration I got for Brother Cole. And so I just copied it down here. And it's scriptures that he speaks every day to know where these scriptures are. Okay? This is our Bible study. So let's start. You look at yourself in the mirror and you say, this is what you do first thing. This one thing I know. Where's that in the Bible? Did you get your concordances popping? Get your search engines going. This one thing I know.
Oh, is that Philippians? Oh, that was this one thing I do.
Yeah. One thing I know. Where is that in the Bible?
John 9:25.
John 9:25. If you have a pen and want to write it in the margin or something, that would be great. So here's what Brother Copeland was teaching us to do was to start saying this every day when we first meet with the Lord. This one thing I know. Okay, next part. I don't just believe this, I know this. Do you know the difference, adults, the difference in knowing and believing? We believe something, and then sometimes we know, like we know, like we know, like we know. Lots of times I'll say, well, I believe in healing, and my foot will hurt, or my knee will hurt. I'm like, oh. So my believing isn't so strong at that moment, because I'm being affected by what I feel. But when I know, you cannot talk me out of it. I know I'm married. I know that God's called us to this work. First John 4:4, if you want to write that down. Greater is he that's in me, say me, than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So who is in me?
God.
Jesus. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
And who's in the world?
Jesus. That's what Nate's reading.
Who's the enemy?
Devil.
The devil. Very good. Greater is God in me than the devil.
Amen.
Let's go ahead. Y'all did good. And I know this. Surely he hath borne my griefs and carried my sorrows, weaknesses, and pains. And we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God. That he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Where's that?
Isaiah 55.
Yes! Isaiah 53:4-5.
I know one.
And so we're just saying a scripture, but we're making it our own. I'm healed. Jesus took my pain. Jesus took my sin. Jesus took my badness. Yeah. And he made me good, right? Did he take my sickness?
Yes.
How did he take it? Did he just pull it out of the air and kind of swing it around?
No.
I got it.
No.
How did he take my sickness?
I like poppers. I like those. It's fun.
That's why he did it, and that's good. But how did he take
that
it?
That was a big one.
How did he take my sickness?
On his body.
Oh.
I didn't know you had a big
on
one.
His body? Tell us about it, Elizabeth.
He paid the price.
For us.
Our sins.
They beat him. They took a whip and they beat his back and beat his front and beat his head and beat his legs. And he said, okay, I'm going to do this because I'm taking sickness away from everybody. Isn't that good? He took sickness. He didn't care if it hurt. He said, I'm taking sickness. He said, it's joy to me. If we looked that up in Hebrews chapter 12, it's joy to me to take your sickness away. Amen? Amen. All right, let's go ahead.
Thank you, Lord.
And I know this, that he cast out the devils with his word and he healed their sick, that it might be fulfilled
so
which
that's
was spoken by Isaiah the prophet,
no,
that he took our
infirmities
and bare our sicknesses. So where in the Bible does it say that he cast out devils with his word and healed the sick? Matthew chapter 8, 16 and 17. There are many places in the Bible that talk about Jesus casting out devils and healing sickness. Where does sickness come from? Does it come from heaven?
No.
Does it come from trees?
No, it comes from the devil.
Thank you. It comes from the devil. Acts 10:38. That'd be a good one for you to write down. Acts 10:38 says that how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power and went about doing good and healing everyone who was oppressed by the devil. So healing and oppression of the devil. Healing is from the
heaven.
Healing is from the
word.
Healing is from heaven. What do I mean? Sickness is from
the devil.
The devil. I'm hitting him. He's giving the right answer.
Sorry
about that. Healing is from heaven. Healing is a gift. Well, let's go ahead. Where am I? And I know this. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that I may be dead to sin and live unto righteousness by whose stripes I was healed. Where's that one? How did you know? Yay! First
supernatural.
So we got Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and 1 Peter 2, 24. Say that together. Isaiah 53,
4
and
5,
1 Peter
2, 24. 1 Peter 2,
24. They both have reference to by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. By Jesus' beating I'm well. Yes, ma'am.
I just noticed the word they are using in the Amplified. It says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. It's like, you didn't know it was his own body, that everything came on him. He uses the word personally.
Oh, I like that.
It was all directed at him.
That's good.
And yet, Hebrews chapter 12, he said, for this joy set before him. He did it because of the joy coming up. Amen?
Okay. Isaiah is a prophecy. When he's prophesying, and the one in Peter is the one that says, I've done it.
Oh, amen. That's a good point. 53 is ahead of time, a prophecy.
Yeah.
But the one in 1 Peter, he'd already done it. Oh, I like that.
I completed the task. I completed the job.
Amen. And I am healed because he completed the task. Oh, praise
that's
God.
Good.
So he goes on to say, I know that. Just read this with me. I know that.
I know that.
I believe that.
I believe that.
And I know that.
And I know that.
I know it's true.
I know it's true.
I know he did that.
I know he did that.
And I receive it today.
I receive it today.
By his stripes, I was healed.
By his stripes, I am healed.
I am healed today.
I'm healed today. All day long.
Amen. So,
amen.
You notice at the bottom I wrote those scriptures in.
Every day.
Yes, we're healed every day. Are your hands healed? Even if you see them bleeding, what does that mean? They're still healed.
Amen.
Amen. They're still healed. That's what's so important. We have to come to the place of believing it is done, whether I see it, whether I feel it, whether I know it, it's done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We've got to believe what we don't see more than what we do see. I do see ant bites on your legs. I don't see healing, but I see healing in here. This is what I believe, more than I believe your own skin, more than I believe my own knee, more than I believe my own ears and head and whatever else, right? Mm-hmm. And then maybe I'm not talking about healing my body. Maybe I'm talking about a teacher for school next year. We need good teachers for school next year, right?
Yes.
And so are we going to believe what people say? Oh, that's a bad teacher. That's a bad school. Are we going to believe God promised to take care of me?
Yes.
I think we got it over there. And if we're praying for our marriage, we're praying for our mommies and daddies, if we're praying for our church, this is what is true. The other things may change. Other things are totally changeable. Amen. But the Bible is true. And so we've got to move to the place that we believe God's word more than we believe what we see, what we hear, what we feel, anything else. Comments? Anyone have comments?
Yes, it has to be final authority because your skin changes all the time.
Yes.
You know? I mean, it's always evolving and changing, and but the word never does.
Honey, I think where we don't understand how God created us, I'll say this anyway. We have the ability, because God put it in us, we can see something as done, know it's done without seeing it physically.
Yeah.
We have that, we call that believing. And that's, we were talking about seeing Javon, you talk about, you see these spots on your legs, but what you're seeing, I see them healed. See, I can see it done before you see it naturally.
Amen.
And that's believing.
So,
Devon's leg is healed. I don't know. God said it. And if he said it, I know it's done.
Mm-hmm.
See, what I mean? We have the ability to do it, but God gifted to do that. We can see something done without being done in the natural.
Mm-hmm. That's the meaning of the word faith. If you look in Romans chapter 4, verses 17, basically, faith. If you have faith in God, you believe two things. That God can raise the dead, and that speak those things that are not as though they were. Because like you said, everything's changeable. So faith says it's going to line up with what God says, and then it won't change.
You know what's interesting though? When you meditate on the word gives you the picture as God sees it. Because sometimes we can't see it the way God sees it until the word, when you allow the word to
turn your mind.
Yeah. Because there are circumstances where you know. They'll be defeated in an area, and you'll think to yourself, I just can't see that changed. If you'll go to the Word will change that. It will show it to you.
Amen.
The way God sees it.
Right. Why? It's because there's light in the Word.
Yeah.
And that's how we see it, by light.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's right.
Psalm 119, 130 says, those that sat in darkness have seen a great light. That's quoted again in the New Testament. And it also says the entrance of his word
giveth light. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Entrance of his word. Entrance.
Yeah, that's good.
I like the word we were talking about, the Complete Jewish Bible version of that scripture, and it says your words are a doorway that lets in light.
So good. That's a good message. Because I was going to say, it's like open a door and shine light. I was going to say that. Did she get a scripture for that? That's a God.
It's so interesting that it's that entrance of when you begin to see, but once you enter in, you've gone beyond the entrance, then you're flooded. Then you know.
Amen.
The It's like on TV, sometimes you see these characters in the dark and somebody's got night vision goggles or laser light that they can see in the dark. So they have an advantage. We have an advantage if we will use our supernatural goggles.
Yes.
Amen. Good. Okay, so this is a confession you can keep and use every morning, and especially if we're praying for some kind of physical healing. And then remember this word from the Lord. He has a plan for us, and he's got everything prepared and ready. He's waiting for us to be willing, obedient, with a cheerful attitude. Let's go ahead and turn to that scripture before we end. It's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Somebody read it when you get it. 1:19.
Isaiah 1:19.
If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the best of the land.
Amen. Willing and obedient. God's got the best for you, but he's waiting for you to be willing and obedient. You know, you can come, for example, we came up to the room. Javon's happy and bouncing. He was excited to get here. Josiah was like, we have to be here. We have to be here. Which one is willing and obedient? We made him be obedient, but he wasn't that willing. And so we reward him still with the good of the land. But the Lord is saying, if you will be willing and obedient and have a cheerful attitude, there's nothing he can't do with you.
Well, when you're willing and obedient and cheerful, I guess not, I'm going to leave out the word obedient, but if you're willing and you're cheerful, then you are acknowledging that this is the best way and my heart is in it. But when you're obedient but your heart is not in it, you're obeying, but you're not.
You don't get to found the land.
You don't really believe it. You don't really believe it.
Yeah. You're not putting yourself in a position to receive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
That's true. That's very good.
Yeah, that's good.
Very good. And so many Christians, you know, you talk to them about living the life we're living, and they don't want to give up something. They've got too many things they don't want to give up. And they can't see, they don't have the light, they can't see giving up those things is going to benefit them, you know. I've had more fuss at me because of the life that I live. Certainly not perfect, but I am striving. This is not a good idea. I am striving to obey God and do what God wants, right? And then people criticize me on that. And so, I think, why? They don't have the revelation to see this is the right way, the best way to live. This is where the reward is. This is where satisfaction is. This is where good things are.
Amen.
Amen. Well, they've probably had enough. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together.
Let's pray.
Thank you, Father. I'm holding hands. You don't need me to hold yours, but other people do.
Oh, here, let's hold hands.
Oh, Father, thank you. We want to be willing. Say willing.
Willing.
And obedient.
And obedient.
With a cheerful attitude.
With a cheerful attitude.
Ready.
Ready.
For what you have for us to do.
For what you have for us to do.
Bless us, Lord.
Bless us, Lord.
Teach us.
Praise you. And now, Father, I pray for Sunday. That you will bring in the people that you want saved,
yes,
you want delivered, you want filled with the Holy Spirit, and that your word will go forth and do those works in their lives. I ask for health and healing for all who participate.
Thank you, Lord.
I ask for blessing for every part of it. In Jesus' name I thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's ask for five people.
Five to be saved?
Yeah, let's ask.
We're going to pray one more time.
In Greek. For five people to say something.
Five people. Father, in Jesus' name, the prophet has spoken. The apostle has spoken. We call five people to publicly give their lives to Jesus Christ, to be born again Sunday morning. In
Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.